Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
But now this, because two American computer scientists have won the 2024 Turing Award for their work in machine learning and AI today. And the award is known as a Nobel Prize of Computing. But another US academic has today described how AI-driven disinformation is currently on steroids. Professor David Hickton is the founding director of the University of Pittsburgh Institute for Cyber Law, Policy and Security, and is a visiting academic in the Adapt Research Ireland Centre at Trinity College Dublin, where he delivered a public lecture today on the disruptive danger of disinformation in the age of AI. And Professor David Hickton joins us now. You're very welcome, David, to the programme.
Thank you for the invitation. It's great that you have invited me to talk with you.
Well, it's great for us, I must say, to tap your expertise. Can I read people a quote from your lecture today? You said, "Disinformation is a contagious virus that infects minds instead of bodies, but its effects, you say, are just as devastating. We are living in an infodemic." My God, David.
Well, it sounds loud and extreme, but it's really not. And I think that we need to recognize that while disinformation is not new, it did exist before the digital platform. It has become pervasive. It's caused polarization. It has stoked fear and anger. And when you put artificial intelligence on top of it, with such things as data poisoning and deep fake pictures and deep fake voices and images, it's something to be concerned about. And I actually think it's an opportunity for Ireland and Europe, given all the things that are going on in the world, to really assert themselves, because I am here for many reasons. Mm-hmm. But one of them is because I've written also that Europe is way ahead of the United States in sensible regulation of the internet.
We spoke with Jeffrey Hinton about 6 months ago or so on this program, the godfather of AI, as he's known as. And at that point, he was warning us about the dangers of AI on this program. I think Sarah and myself were kind of taken aback by the existential threat that AI poses, according to Jeffrey. Suddenly, 6 months on, David, we're all hearing about the harnessing the power of AI in the corporate environment. It seems that all of the regulation has fallen away.
Yeah, and regulation is a four-letter word in the United States right now. And it's really going to be a wild west, digitally. But the thing that you point out in your question is how fast this all happened. Mm. ChatGPT was like November 2022 or 2023. And, you know, I personally use Claude when I do AI applications. And just last week, Claude released their 3.7 version, which is a reasoning model. And it violates one of the guidelines I've always given, and that is these technology tools are good as long as they allow us to continue to be that which makes us human, which is exercise our control and judgment over things. When you let the machine reason, when you let the machine react, when you let the machine block things or fence, as the term is called, you seem to be surrendering control and the tool is using you instead of you using the tool. And that's what concerns me, which is why I think the European model is so brilliant, with the sandbox experimentation of various classes of AI applications. We have nothing like that really in the United States. And, you know, what we're going to do is be rolling things out and just trial by error. And I think the stakes are way too high.
And sorry to interrupt you, but I was speaking to someone in business recently just on this very topic, and they were saying that the US and China have raced ahead here, and the EU is trying to shut the door or the stable door after the horse has bolted. And there's no putting it back in the box. All that we're going to do is get left behind.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. What I typically hear from people is that I'm against innovation, you know, because I'm for regulation. I'm for sensible regulation, and I'm for sensible experimentation. I mean, we have always licensed products which hit the market. That's nothing new. It's nothing extreme. But this is just happening so fast, and there's such a benefit and a dividend paid to people who can race stuff out there. And look, it's magical. It's magical. Let's not ignore the value of it. One of the jobs I had during my career was I was in charge of coronavirus oversight as a staff director to the Congressional Committee. And, you know, it would have been a lot easier to test, track, and trace and do all the work we were doing if we had the products that are available just a couple of years later. So let's not ignore the benefits of it.
Yeah, there's loads of benefits. So can you talk to me a little bit more then about some examples you've seen? Because we've had disinformation on social media and on the internet for a very long time now, and arguably it's got an awful lot worse, but it's been there. How does AI exacerbate that? Or what examples are you seeing that where AI is making that worse?
Well, the best or worst example is the people who prey upon children with deepfake pictures, person's accurate face with a unclothed body, and then it's circulated and recirculated. The more common one we see recently is information with respect to, the battle in the courts, where if a judge gives an adverse ruling, there's a whole bunch of information about that judge that's circulated and recirculated by machines. Mm-hmm. It's all false. You know, it pertains to sexual orientation, gender origination, criminal record, marital status,
it's false and dangerous, and moving at speed. So can I ask you this finally, though, because you've given great examples here. I just wonder, though, in terms of regulating AI for the better, is it impossible at this stage to put the genie back in the bottle? Because it's almost like whack-a-mole, isn't it? You regulate in Europe, but the US is ploughing ahead. And now we have DeepSeek in China and God knows where else. I mean, it's impossible unless you do it on a global level.
Well, this is a general answer, but the technology does move so fast that regulation is not as efficient because you can't catch the technology. So the genie is out of the bottle. But the two other areas that I think ought to be first order priorities, and one is how humans use it, and the second is how it impacts the public sector and the public sphere. And those are often secondary priorities in the conversation. People obsess about trying to regulate the technology and catch lightning when they ought to be spending more time talking about, can people of goodwill and common sense come together on how we might restrict this and what tools we might use, whether it's sanctions or disqualifications for adverse uses of it.
And do you see that happening, that rollback happening in Trump's America or with China?
Well, it's going to be challenging. I mean, right now, whatever you say about Trump, he's doing what he said he was going to do, and he's doing a very disruptive reset on everything. And, I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but I think it's important to recognize that everything he says isn't untrue, and some of the stuff he says is true. But, I'm not optimistic as I was before November 5th. I'll say that for sure.
Do you want to hazard a guess as to where we go from here? We began almost by saying it's moving so fast. Where will we be with AI, do you think, in about a year's time, Scott?
That's a hard question for me to answer because, it's staggering to me. If I had predicted on where we would have been 2 years ago, I'd have been dead wrong. But what the answer to your first part of your question is I do feel hope and optimism for two reasons. One, I believe that the impulse which drives the current political movement in the United States, that we're not going to take this anymore, can be harnessed when people realize that disinformation is hurting them. So that which is causing the problem right now could be turned around. The second thing I think is it's one of the reasons I'm here in Ireland. I've been here a couple of years working on these projects together. This is a borderless problem. We can't solve it in one country, and we can't screw it up in one country either. So I am optimistic that the project we have together here at the University of Pittsburgh, together with Trinity, would be an exemplar of the type of thing that we can do in a can-do basis with people of goodwill deciding, like, let's find three or four applications that are dodgy, and let's figure out whether we can come up with some sensible way to protect the public and constrain use without holding back innovation.
Well, I must say it's a great pleasure to speak with you, and it's nice to have your expertise and your sound mind in the country working with one of our best institutions. Professor David Hickton, founding director of the University of Pittsburgh Institute for Cyber Law, Policy and Security, as I say, and visiting academic in the ADAPT Research Ireland Centre at TCD. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.